We ought to be loving God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself, the Bible says.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I would suggest that Christian parents and Christian servants must be aware of the character and behavior of the wicked and ungodly men who move about in our world. They must learn to recognize the marks of ungodliness. And that's why Paul unfolds it for us here. He's unfolding for us the marks of ungodliness. They must learn to recognize the marks of ungodliness and take whatever steps are essential to deliver themselves and those under their jurisdiction, under their protection, under their care from the godless influences of these marks of ungodliness. Every parent, every Christian servant, every Christian parent must learn to recognize the marks of ungodliness, be aware of the character and behavior of the wicked and ungodly men, these creeps, if you will, and protect themselves and those under their jurisdiction from those godless influences. I want to give you an analysis, really a twofold analysis, a very simple overall development of thought here, a twofold analysis of this passage, which is designed to help us in fulfilling this God-ordained function of recognizing and avoiding the marks of ungodliness. As I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7 in particular, there are really only two things that stand out to me in an overview or an overall outline. The first thing I see is a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. That's in verse 1, in the first phrase of verse 2. A general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. The second thing I see is the specific characterization. Very vividly, very precisely, and very specifically, Paul unfolds more precisely the marks of ungodliness in verse 2, 3, and 4 in particular. First, a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness, verse 1, in the first part of verse 2. And then a specific characterization of the marks of ungodliness. The latter part of verse 2 down through all the way verse 7. Now, what do you see there? In verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, there are four propositions that emerge, which, in a very simple way, give us a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. There are four propositions that emerge. Number one, Paul says, we are living in the last days. Number two, he says, these days will include seasons of peril or stress. Perilous times will come. Number three, he says, these seasons of stress will be the result of the activities of evil men, for men shall be. Then he tells us what they will be and how they will behave. And number four, he says, we are to understand this, to be perfectly clear about it, to expect it, and so be prepared for it when it comes. This know, I want you to understand this. This know, in fact, Paul only uses two imperatives in this whole section. He says, this know in verse 1. And then he says in verse 5, from such turn away. Those are the only two imperatives, the only two commands in the whole passage. This know, and from such turn away. In other words, we're not to live out our lives oblivious to the warnings in Scripture. That's always a principle in the Scripture. Once we know something, we're to act upon it. Once we know the issues as revealed in Scripture, then we're to act. This know, and then he says, and from such turn away. Positive action. Knowledge must always be followed by action or it is useless and impotent. We're not simply to be encyclopedic in our knowledge of the Bible. We are to be obedient to our knowledge of the Bible. We're to study the Bible from God's perspective, recognize it and appreciate it as the authoritative word of God, and then live in obedience to what he says there. So Paul generally introduces the concept, and four propositions emerge. Here's a general characterization of the marks of ungodliness. We're living in the last days. These days will include seasons of peril or stress. Perilous times shall come. Dangerous, menacing times shall come. These seasons of stress will be the result of the activities of evil men. And we are to understand this, be perfectly clear about it, expect it, and be prepared for it when it comes and act in accordance with it as the Word of God would teach us. Now Paul says, I want to be a little more specific. I've given you a general characterization. Now I want to give you a specific characterization of the marks of ungodliness. Now in this list of specific characteristics of ungodly men who creep into houses and defile them, who destroy marriages and individuals and families and churches and cultures and nations and worlds by their philosophies and by their behavioral patterns. I want you to be very precise about these, the Apostle Paul says, and I'm going to unfold for you 19 characteristics of these men. Now, we're not going to cover them all, but we want to introduce them. I want to give you a very specific characterization of these men. And I would suggest, at least in a threefold way, that these men have something very wrong with them in three areas. One, something foundational. Let me give you the outline. There's something foundationally, essentially, fundamentally wrong with these men, and that is they love the wrong things. And there are seven words in this list that would identify that for us. And then they have something filial or family-oriented wrong with them. The first place in which their foundational problems emerge is within the ranks of the family. And I believe there are five terms that describe what goes wrong in the family. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful to parents. They're unholy, irreverent, disrespectful of parental authority. They're without natural affection. They don't love their parents as they should. And they're truce breakers. They refuse to sit down and negotiate a God-honoring peace, even within the ranks of the family. So one, there's something foundational wrong with them. They have wrong loves. Two, there's something filial or family-oriented wrong with them. And then finally, thirdly, there's something frenzied, wildly wrong about them. Wild, violent, passionate activity characterizes these men, wider than the circumference of the family. And there are seven terms that would unfold that concept. They're false accusers, they're incontinent, they're fierce, they're despisers of good, they're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded. We'll look at all of those concepts on another occasion when we meet together. But now let's introduce this concept. What is foundationally wrong with these men? What is fundamentally wrong with these men is perhaps what is fundamentally wrong with some of us, and that is that they love the wrong things. In fact, there are four terms in this passage which indicate that. The first two and the last two. Do you have your Bible open? Can you see verse 2? The Bible says in verse 2, they're lovers of their own selves. That's the first thing that they love that they shouldn't love. They're self-lovers. And then the Bible says they're covetous. But you know what that Greek word really is? Silver lovers. Philargyria. Philos means to love. Argyros is silver. They're silver lovers. First, they're self-lovers, lovers of their own selves. Then they're silver lovers, covetous. And then the last two in verse 4, they're sensual lovers, lovers of pleasures. And the word is hedonism, sensual pleasure. And then finally, they're senseless lovers. They are not lovers of God. It's insanity not to love God. It's an act of senselessness. They are self-lovers, they are silver lovers, they are sensual lovers, and they are senseless lovers. The first and last descriptions in this passage give us an insight into the foundational and essential and fundamental problem that these godless men and godless society experiences. And that is that they love the wrong things. I don't believe this can be overemphasized. Every time we have corrupted affections, you can expect that we will have corrupted attitudes and actions. Every time that we have corrupted affections, you can expect that we will have corrupted attitudes and actions. Four of these terms out of 19 are a combination with this little prefix philos or phileo, which means to love. And those four combinations give us a very powerful insight into the areas in which their love is misdirected. Paul says they have four perversions in their love life. And this is their foundational problem. And every one of us can learn something from that, because some of us may be loving the wrong things. We ought to be loving God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself, the Bible says. Our first love should be God, and our highest responsibility is to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to God. And if we have defective loves, if we have misdirected loves, if we have perversions in our biblical love life, we can expect that God's blessing will be withdrawn from us. Foundationally, essentially, fundamentally, these men love the wrong things. The Bible says they're lovers of their own selves. You see that in verse 2? They're self-lovers. The moment a man makes his own will, the center of his life, He begins to love himself instead of loving God. He refuses to worship God, so he begins to worship himself. The moment a man makes his own will the center of his life, divine and human relationships disintegrate. They become impossible. Obedience to God and love to man become impossible because we are so preoccupied with serving our own interests, we have no time for God and others. It means that the most basic and fundamental relationships of life disintegrate. The great privilege and responsibility of loving and obeying God and meeting the needs of others fall apart because we love ourselves. We erect an altar to ourselves in the very center of our lives, and daily we bow down before ourselves. Paul says that is fundamentally what is wrong with these men. They're lovers of their own selves, and it's amazing how this selfish love can raise its ugly head even in the context of a Christian experience, a Christian marriage, a Christian family, a Christian church. Ugly manifestations of self-love always coming to the surface, prideful, clamoring for my own will and my own way. God says these are the marks of disintegration. These are the marks of ungodliness. These are the things we should recognize and from such turn away. Paul uses three terms in this verse. I don't have the time to really define them, but he uses three terms in this verse to expand this idea of self-love. He says they're boasters. Do you see it in verse 2? He says they're boasters, they're proud, and they're blasphemers. And those three terms expand the idea of self-love. They're boasters. In other words, they're braggarts. That's what the word means. They have a bounce of swaggering in their step, and they're always making proud claims that they can't justify or substantiate. They're like wandering quacks. In fact, that's how the word was used in the ancient world. Used of wandering quacks who promised panaceas for all diseases but produced nothing. Self-lovers are always braggarts, always boasters. And then he says something else. Not only that, but they're proud. Boasting is up on the surface. It's very visible. Proud is in the heart. Not so visible, but it's there. The word means to appear above, to show oneself above. It means to have an exalted view of yourself in your heart so that you look down with contempt upon everybody but yourself. It's that word that's way back there in Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. The first is a proud look. That's the word. To appear above, to look as though I am superior to others, to look down with contempt on all others. It's the citadel of evil. It was called in the ancient world the Acropolis Kakon, a Greek phrase that means the citadel of evil. And then he says, these men are not only boasters and proud, but they're blasphemers. It naturally follows. Whenever you have an exaggerated view of yourself, you're a boaster. And it naturally follows from that exaggerated view that you will look down with contempt upon other people. And whenever you look down with contempt upon other people, you will begin to insult them. And that's what the word blaspheme means, love of insult. Blasphemountes is the Greek word. It means love of insult. Abusive, injurious, harmful words, contemptuously expressing your pride verbally against all others. Paul says, fundamentally and essentially, what's wrong with these men is that they're self-lovers.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God says these are the marks of disintegration. These are the marks of ungodliness. These are the things we should recognize and from such turn away.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively helping you to live an authentic Christian life.